As I said, it's been 44 years since I was ordained, and this world of ours is different from what it was in 1971. We struggle with threats of terrorism almost every day. Our economy seems to be on a very delicate balance, just because of good old-fashioned dishonesty and greed. Jobs are still scarce, salaries are too low, and the threat of a diminishing middle class is made more apparent by the greater gulf between rich and poor almost every day. I'm sure you sense, as well as I do, that there is not a huge amount of confidence in our political leadership or in our nation's ability to continue to be the peacekeepers of the world. As those of us who are baby boomers, I'm the first line, 1946. When we were coming into the world, our nation prospered from a huge positive attitude that believed that all things were possible. That if we just put our minds to it, we could succeed at anything. Now I believe we wish for a return to that sense of confidence. Confidence of the pioneers and nation builders who were our forebears. We long for visionaries like Washington and Jefferson and Adams, courageous political leaders and orators like Patrick Henry. I live on Churchill, you know. Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Wasn't that cool? We don't hear that kind of stuff anymore from our politicians, do we? Yikes. We hear more about what we can't do than what we can. We hear more about the fact that everything costs too much. And God forbid we'd raise taxes. We're losing the sense of community that comes through a supportive and free culture. And our deeply held opinions have created really horrible division. The willingness to support one another when decisions have been made with which we don't agree has been lost. Think about just this week for a minute. We started out with another reminder of our really messy racial understanding with the murders in Emmanuel AME Church. A rather horrifying thing that I think brought all of us up short. I think that the really cool thing, of course, was that the young man wanted to start a civil war. And instead, all people did was hold hands and pray. No riots, no cars turned over, no looting. It was different. The Supreme Court approved the Affordable Health Care. The Supreme Court allowed for gay marriage. All over the country. Our Episcopal Church yesterday elected the first African American presiding bishop, Michael Curry. I was fortunate enough to know Michael as we were both candidate for Bishop of North Carolina at the same time. And he has got to be the best preacher I have ever heard in my life. So I pray if you get a chance to hear our new presiding bishop, go. Even if it's a bit of a drive, it's worth it. But all of these things bring about reactions on the other side. Not everybody's excited about gay marriage. Not everybody's excited about the fact that folks want to take down Confederate flags. And not everybody will be excited that we have a black bishop, presiding bishop. Yet the gospel this morning attempts to tell us of the power of community, the power of faith. It's the faith of Jairus that brings Jesus to his home and that accomplishes the healing of his daughter in the midst of the synagogue community. Yet among the places where community seems to be stretched the hardest in this part of the world is in the church. It's difficult to discern the presence of the Holy Spirit or the leading of Jesus when things don't go the way we want them to. It's also difficult to put our particular time into the perspective of eternity and let go of the incredible importance we put on the decisions that are made in our time. You know, God is in charge. Jesus is Lord. And even our wrong decisions often work to the glory of God. It is difficult to have that same perspective in our nation, or our community, or our church. As we look at the AME event and the fact that there were not riots and that people dealt with it by praying and that families forgave, could we learn something here? You think? An unspeakable evil that could teach us a great deal. Jairus' little girl was not dead because Jesus is Lord and was in charge. And it did not matter that Jairus was a leader of the Jews who were not terribly excited about Jesus. And even though the reports come in all the time that the church is dead, I don't believe she is either. And the good folks at Emmanuel Church in Charleston and those praying all over the country have also made that clear. Jesus said, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. The church is not dead, but sleeping." When our convention meets, there is always a great deal of terror in our hearts about the decisions that will be made. But take a look at the collect we all read this morning. Almighty God, you have built your church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Grant us so to be joined together in unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may be made a holy temple, acceptable to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our lives and of who we are. It would be really good at this time in the life of our nation and our church to be joined together in spirit, regardless of race or religion or creed or sexual orientation or political orientation or whatever else we seem to find to separate us. You might recognize once again that it is together that we build communities, lives, and nations. It is with faith that we find the motivation and the strength to become more than we can possibly be by ourselves. A group of followers of Jesus began to proclaim a gospel and model a life in relationship to each other and in relation to a God that transformed the world. A group of colonists gathered together to form a new nation with a new vision for the dignity of human beings in 1776. A small group of former members of the Church of England gathered in 1789 for the very first General Convention and created this church. Wouldn't it be wonderful, exciting, if we could both model a faith and a sense of community that would transform this culture as our legacy to the future?